No.
To raise something.
Oh, we got my pants down.
Nah, I know it won't ever be that good, but at least you can get a bit of it.
Could you play this time? So what do you and Nurse play this time?
I couldn't do it.
I tried.
I got two white hands. I can play the horn.
You remember the Magnus organ, the core organ, how Ben learned to play that, didn't it, Ben?
I could play the whole comment off.
But you know, they have the numbers to go back.
Oh, I'd like to do that, and you got the numbers and stuff, but.
Yeah, that spatter overcomes down horn, you see? The light.
Oh, hanging off that light, it does.
Okay, I thought something come down.
What is that?
Well, I will be gone.
Look at it.
He just come down.
Where'd he get it?
It just come on.
Right there, go get him.
Where'd he at?
He keep going up and down. He came down during Sunday school.
See, I thought I was crazy, I saw it hanging down.
Yeah, he's.
Okay, see it, Billy.
Okay, he said went back up there again, I see now.
Oh, a spider.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna cut him off.
Cut him off.
No, he come down during Sunday school.
Yeah, just don't let him come down.
I didn't see him come down that far.
But I didn't see him come back up. He could have fell on me when I come through that.
You got him.
All that.
It did, disappeared, and I thought, I know.
Yeah, when he gets out of that ray of light.
And then I thought I just saw it work up.
Yeah.
And then we got that sticky thing.
But I saw a little bright light, it might come down.
Uh-huh, it's a little bright, but I said, well, it must have been the sunshine. I thought I was crazy.
I bet it didn't fall on me when I.
Thank you, Bill.
You'd have got that high there, wouldn't you?
She would have went up that high, man. You'd seen me as hugs coming around up there.
Yeah, I could get a high note now.
Yeah.
Being leg would have worked, wouldn't it?
You probably would have walked without that cane.
Oh, mate. Need to let some stuff out in here. Need to get a squirrel in here and let that squirrel loose.
We have a revival, don't we?
I tell you what.
Now I can cope with a squirrel, leave the snakes alone. I must have told you snakes.
You ain't got to worry about me having no snakes, not in George.
You
ain't got to worry about me.
And I said, how crazy can people be?
Well, it was a passed up in, I think it was West Virginia, up in the mountains somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he handled rattlesnakes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And he handled one too many that time.
One too many.
And he got him.
Yep.
Bit him.
Yep.
And he died right there. And then the thing about it was, his son was a preacher also. Mm-hmm. His son come in and took over the church and everything. His son went up and he started handling this. I mean, he handled snakes too. And he got bit.
Oh, my goodness.
And he went home too. I'm beginning to what home they went to.
Yeah, right.
I don't think it's the same home I'm going to.
I don't think God intended for you to be handling them snakes. I don't know what kind of religion that is, but
I would like to ask him, why did he create snakes?
I
don't like them. Especially when you have a boy in one day.
Really, if you get to thinking about it, he didn't create the snake. Man did. When they sinned at the Garden of Eden.
True.
I mean, that's where the first serpent came from. Because up into that point, the devil and his archangels was there in heaven with God, and he wanted to, I mean, I tell you. But that's okay. They can have them. All right. Well, let's turn to the book of Hebrews this morning, if you will. And I am going to try my very best. Not to keep y'all past 3 o'clock.
I'm glad you said that, because remember where you stand.
He's going to stay at 3 o'clock. Did he bring any lunch?
Oh, man.
Take out.
Oh, me. Hallelujah. Well, the revival down at Burlington, they're going to kind of slack off this week because they've got, it's up in Chattanooga, Tennessee, that they're having this coming week, they're supposed to have a youth rally up there. And so they're going up there this week, and then they're coming back. And they're going to come back and start it back up. And he says, they just hope it maybe be Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hey, it'll get started up there with the young people. Yeah. But I tell you what, I am thankful that we serve a God that still saves souls. Amen. And he still wants to do something within a Christian's lives. And I want to talk to you this morning for a little while on a subject for the Christian. And that is faith. The condition of the Christian life. Over here in chapter 12 in the book of Hebrews, it says, verse 1, it says, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3 says, "For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastising, God dealeth with you as his sons. For what sons is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had father of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. So we, not much rather, be in subjection unto the Father of the Spirit and lives. For they verily, for a few days, chasteneth us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Our Father, we thank you. We thank you that, Father, that we still have the Word of God. And Father, I'm so thankful that I still live in a nation to where we still have the freedom, the Father, where we can gavel, where we can gather together and assemble. And Father, where we can lift up the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray, Lord, this morning, God, that you would just help me. And Father, give me the words that I need this morning. Yes, I'm looking for something afresh and new this morning from heaven. Now, Lord, and I pray, Father, that you would look upon the people's hearts today. And God, I pray, Father, that you will just help them in the days ahead, in the days that are coming, Father. Father, because we know, Lord Jesus, that it's not going to get no better. It's going to wax worse and worse. We see that in your word. And Father, you can help us. And we ask and we beg him for thy help today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to look at the condition of the Christian's life. Now, we as Christians today, we have to have some things that is according to God's word that can help us in the walk that we have toward the Lord. And Hebrews teaches that Jesus is better than the law of Moses. We can see where in the book of Hebrew, the word better is mentioned time and time over again. But that is better than the law of Moses. He is a better priest. He is a better sacrifice. And after the study of faith and the working out of faith in our lives, we can see in chapter 11 where this right here is the faith chapter, where we see where we have many people here that he's talking about, but they have the faith on their side. Now we have to have the faith on our side. Some people don't even have the faith on their side. But if we keep the faith as a grain of mustard seed on our side, as a Christian, in a condition for our life, we can overcome anything. But we must have faith. Faith will condition our lives in a way that where we can be happy. You know, the saddest people that I see is the people that used to be in church. You can see it. You can see it in the expression, in the walk, in the talk, in the countenance, and everything. Why? Because they don't have the faith anymore. And they forgot about the love of God. They forgot about where God has brought them from. We need to realize also that we don't need to worry about no one else. We need to worry about us as an individual. And if we worry about us and we get our own lives straight, if we got our own lives in condition the way that God wants it to be, God cannot hold us back. Why? Because we're going to go forward. And we're going to go forward to the point that, yes, we're going to do things that we didn't think we could ever do. One time in my life, I mean, when God was dealing with me about preaching, and I run from Him. I literally run from Him. I didn't want to preach. I knew I could not preach, and I knew that. But God still wanted me. And I said, God, why do you want me, the least of all of your men I hear, a least of all the individuals that you have I hear, that knows the Word of God better than I will ever get to know, and can read the Word a whole lot better. But He wanted me. And I had to finally surrender after about 9, maybe right at 10 months of running from the Lord. Yes, I literally run from Him. I took on jobs where I worked at that they say it's impossible. You cannot do it. But what I didn't realize was that when I took on the position, that when I took on that job to do that job, I didn't realize that I was leaning to Jesus, because He says all things is possible. All things is possible through Him. And it was possible. It took me about 3 or 4 months to go in and be able to turn all the shells completely around. After I done took all the parts off of the shells, I turned the shells around in the parts house, in the APA place, Doss Automotive. They say it cannot be done. You can turn them any way you want to, but you are not going to have no more room. See, they wanted to get the Volkswagen parts in. They wanted to get the Volkswagen to where they could sell the parts for the Volkswagen, because they had plenty of customers out here, and they was having to order the parts. But they wanted parts in stock. I took the job on. The reason I took the job on, I thought if I could get down and get down with the bins and I could get to moving and everything and get down where the filth and the dust and everything was, that I would forget about it. Because I had my mind on that. Still didn't leave me. It still stayed there. It stayed there in the forefront of my mind. It stayed there on the top of my heart. I couldn't get rid of it. I couldn't do anything to get rid of it. And I spent three or four months there changing them shells around, putting the parts back on the shelves like it should be. Then they finally said that they had the VW parts coming in. They asked me, would I put the VW, Volkswagen parts on the shelves in the order that they need to be. I said, sure, I'll do it. I still running from God. I was trying to condition my own self to the point that I wouldn't think about it no more. I wouldn't think about preaching anymore. And after I got through putting up your parts and getting the numbers, sequence, and everything right, and then took the inventory of it, after I'd done all of that, they come out there one day and the owner of Doss Automotive at the time says, I didn't think you could do it. You know what I told them? I told them, says, I knew I couldn't do it. I knew that what I was taking on was something that I did not and was not comfortable with, because I had come and told you that it can be done. And I was thinking about the thing whole lot of time. You know something? I just lied to the owner. I said it could be done. I have no idea. But they came back and they says, Donnie, says you done it. Says you done it. I looked at him, I says, no, I didn't do it. God done that. I was trying to get out of doing something for God. And I'm so thankful that when God has something for us to do for Him, He will never let us alone until we do it. Until we do it, He will never leave us alone. You know, we need to go about laying aside the sin which doeth so easily besets us. The sin that bothers us to the point that we can't get anything done for God. Why? Because we have not conditioned ourselves as a Christian. We have not conditioned ourselves as a Christian to do it God's way. What we want to do, we want to do it our way. When we do it our way, guess what? We mess it up. Because we cannot do it God's way. But if we leave it up to God and say, God, here I am. Here I am. The Lord, you take me and you use me any way that you want to use me. Then it will get done. Why? Because I've left it up to God. My wife and my daughter, they get fretted at me sometimes about some things and everything. Says, you don't worry about this no more. You don't worry like you used to. I says, the Bible says, worry is a sin. And I says, you know something? And I don't like sin. I don't like it. But I know that I do every day. For the wages of sin is what? It's not life. For the wages of sin is what? Death. We're going to have to, the wage is going to come to you one day. It's going to come due with the people. It's going to come due when they think that everything is going fine. But everything is not going fine. We think that things are going to get better. You hear people and you'll talk to people. They say, well, depends on who gets in the White House in November. We may start seeing some things ease up on us. It's not going to do that. It's the same way with what I believe it, as I said on that Wednesday night down here last year or year before, I forgot when it was now, that I was walking up the aisle and that night we'd been praying all week for Sister Sarah. You say, well, you said Sister Sarah. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I believe her name is Sister Sarah. You may tell you why? Because of what God has done for that child. You know, we as Christians think that we have to come to God in certain ways. No. Mm-mm. All we have to do is just think upon Him. And I believe myself that young child, at the time that could not speak, but she could hear. And she has heard from God. And I told him that night, I says, and I really didn't know what I was saying at the time, but it's how true it is. I says, look at the miracles that God's performed in that child's life. And I says, and God does not waste a miracle. Why would he waste a miracle in your life, in my life? He won't. He's not going to waste a miracle in our lives. What he's going to do, he's going to increase that miracle in our lives, the way our lives can be conditioned for him. It can be conditioned for him to where we don't want to sin, but yet we do sin. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is through him. You know, we as individuals, we don't understand some of the things that we say and some of the things that we do at times. But we're not supposed to ponder on that. We're not supposed to lose our train of thought in what God wants us to do. We don't need to do that. We don't need to get to the point that I need to start thinking about this, Lord. We don't have to if we condition our life after Him. And we as individuals, we have to think about what we do. Because what we do, people sees. People sees everything that you do and everything that I do. Like an elderly preacher said one time, said, if you're a Christian, if you're in church, and if you love God, people are watching your life. Because they're just waiting for you to fall. That's just like me. I mean, I can be walking around here, and my wife is just, and if I get to bouncing around everything, and I start throwing my foot up in the air and everything, my wife says, oh, if one falls, he's going to fall flat on his face. That's right. We don't need to look at God. We don't need to look at what he has had for us to do. We need to look to him, God the Father, that gave his son Jesus, that we could take and we can condition our lives after Jesus. Faith. We need to look unto Jesus for the faith that we have. He give us faith. He's the one that can help us with faith. He's the one that can help us in what we do when we leave the house of the Lord. Did you realize that when we leave the house of the Lord, that we're not just supposed to go home and sit down? We're not just to go home and look and say, well, you know, I gave a preacher some names and I hope he goes and visits them. That right there, I mean, fine, I'll go and visit. If you give me a name, I'll go and visit, and I'll talk to them. I'll call them at something. But you can tell you what? But what we have to look at is that God didn't come to me and lay the individual on my heart. He came to one of you. And lay the individual on your heart. That's just like me. If the Lord lays someone on my heart that I know that's lost and I need to go and talk to them and everything. Hey, God's going to prepare them so when I get there, they're going to be able to understand it. They're going to end up opening the door. They're going to end up opening the door about the church or about God's word or something. To where we can go in and share some of the faith and some of the condition that God has conditioned our lives with. He didn't ask me to. So, Brother Bill, Lord been all over me this past week about going and visiting somebody and said that I just feel like I need for you to go. No. Ain't the way it works. When God speaks to your heart, then that's when you have got to go. And you have got to realize some things that what you need to do. You need to do it because God has dealt with your heart. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I like it. When God brings a blessing to me. I like it when God changes the heart that where at one time that I, I hated someone or something like that. My heart is in need of him. Your heart is in need with him. And don't look at me and don't say, well, I'm doing the best I can and everything. I feel like it. I'm doing all God wants me to do. Mm-mm. We can always do more. We can always do more. The faith. Faith. We need to, when we condition our lives, Christian life, we condition it with faith. Not only do we condition it with faith, we condition our lives with commitment. With commitment unto the Lord. You know, when individuals come and join a church or whatever, that they need to realize that if I asked them if they're going to be faithful to the church in the tithes and offerings, and if they're going to be here when the church doors are open, I like to tell them, I said, you wait for your answer. You need to realize that you're not promising this preacher. You're not making a vow unto me. You're not making a vow to this church. You're making a vow to God. People today, oh yeah, they want to belong to a church. Well, you can belong to as many Baptist churches. You can belong to as many independent fundamental Baptist churches. You can belong to all the churches in the world, I hear, and still die and go to hell. The only way that anybody's going to ever get into heaven is through the Son, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to go around anymore like we've been doing and saying, well, I can't help it. You know, it's got out of control and everything. Who allowed it to get out of control? You think God did? No, God didn't allow it to get out of control. Who allowed it? We did. We allowed it to come where we can come to God's house and worship Him in spirit and in truth. We have allowed the devil to come in and change the way that we want to worship. We don't need to change the way we want to worship. We need to come and worship God, the true and living Spirit. We need to always be able to stand and tell the truth. We need to go out here and the people that's not telling the truth. The Bible teaches us that we must go to them and we must tell them where they're wrong. And we must take the Scripture and we must show them in Scripture where they're wrong. But we don't want to do that. We won't do that. No. Why? Because we have not conditioned ourselves. We've not allowed our lives to be committed unto Him. We need to commit our lives unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We also need to condition our lives, our Christian life, in everything that we do. We need to condition our verbal speech. We need to condition our eyes to where we're not blinded to the gospel. We need to condition our walk where we will not take us in places that we must not go. We must condition our lives. Condition. The word condition, it's a whole lot there. But we just think about the word condition. But you think about the word condition. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to condition our lives after God. And when we do, we need to condition our lives after the Lord in our labor. We must always be ready to labor for the Lord. We must always be on go. As soon as the Lord speaks to us or tells us something, we may not be able to go right then because we may be doing something else right then at that very moment. But I'll tell you what. But we can start praying right there that God will condition us to what we say to the people. Hey, the church here, it needs more people. It needs more Christians here. It needs more of God here. You know, I've tried it many a times when I was on the radio station. I've tried to when I was at over Community Baptist Church that I would go over there and I would get up in the pulpit and I would have my little recorder and everything and trying to record my message that I was going to take and put on the radio. But you know something? I quit going over to the community, Baptist Church, and trying to condition myself when I went over there to study the message and everything that I'd be bringing on the radio on Saturday morning at noon. It got awful. It got awful tough. It got awful strained in the church when you see nothing but empty pews. Y'all don't like to see empty pews. Do you? I don't either. But we need to start conditioning our own life. Our Christian life. In the way that God wants us to worship Him. In spirit and in truth. And we need to let people know where they are come wrong according to Scripture. We can show them in God's Word. We may not be able to know exactly where it's at in the Bible and what they have been teaching or preaching about. But if we have a little time, we can go and we can look it up. We can have a little time with God. And if you've been saved any length of time at all, and if you've read God's Word, then that's when the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will reveal unto us where it's at. Until that time comes, He's not going to reveal it to us because we're not in need of that. Talking about labor in faith. Well, it says, and I found this day before yesterday. It says, a little girl fell out of bed. The others in the house rushed to where she was at. And they asked her this question. How come you to fall out of the bed? I think I stayed too close to the place where I got in. Many Christians today have stayed too close to the place where they got in. And when you stay too close to sin, you're going to apt to stumble. And you're going to apt to fall. And when you do, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to move on. It's going to be tough to go out here and be a witness for God. But we must always labor in faith. Why? Because it says up here in verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, to let us lay aside every weight and the sin doeth so easily beset us, and let him run the race of patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of this, of the Word of God. Not only is He the author of the Word of God, I want to ask you a question. Do you know the author of the Bible? If you know the author of the Bible, you can get in and read it and study it. And He's right there with you. He's teaching you what it says. I don't know of any other author that is out here around the world that is an author of a book, a commentary, or anything else. To where when you and I read what they've got, and what they have pinned down on paper, I sure am glad I know the author. I sure am glad the author teaches me. I'm glad the author walks with me and talks to me every day. I'm so glad to be a Christian. I'm so glad that I'm saved. Everyone stand, head bowed and eyes closed. Brother Bill come. It's just 4 minutes past 12. We need for God to do something. I want to ask you the question. This week, will you set a time aside to where you can get alone with God and you can pray for the church? You can pray that the church will grow. All uplifted hand. Just uplift your hand if you believe that God can do something. If you know that God can do it. Hey, I know that God can do it. But are we willing to do our part? Is a question. We have to do our part for God to do His. That's the way God works. God's not going to bless us until we bless Him. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, I pray, Father, You'll go with us. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, You touch the hearts this morning. Father, I pray, God, if it's anyone, Father, that is here today where the Word of God is spoken to their heart. And Father, I pray that they will come forth and they will seek out the Lord Jesus Christ, the way He can condition their life, their Christian life, after Him. And Father, that they may do what You'd asked them to do this week. Father, help us, Lord, that we can bring You a blessing. The Father, where You can be a blessing to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.